Hi, I'm Candace Michelle, and welcome to another segment of Our Community. Spring has always been my favorite time of year. I grew up back east in western Pennsylvania, so winters included a fair amount of snow and a lot of cold weather. The first couple of snowfalls are pretty, but by the time May finally comes around, it was pure heaven to see the crocuses, tulips, violets, and lilacs. Here in Brookings, winter doesn't usually involve a lot of snow, but the rain does get tiring, and I'm always ecstatic to see the azaleas and rhodies starting to bloom. One of the best places to see and smell these beauties is the formal garden at Azalea Park. Created by a dedicated group of volunteers many years ago, headed up by Elmo and Lorraine Williams. Today, my guests are two delightful women, who I've actually become friends with, and who are part of the Azalea Park Foundation, the organization of volunteers that works to keep the garden beautiful for all of us. Teresa Lawson and Holly Beyer, welcome to the show.
Hi.
How nice to have you guys here. It really has been a delight because I'm on the board of the Azalea Park Foundation as well, and it's just been a real delight to work with both of you. You're just really fun people.
Well,
I like you guys a lot.
Thank you.
We have a lively group, don't we?
We do have a lively group, and frankly, why not, right? I mean, we're all old enough that, you know, we should be able to have some fun.
And laugh,
exactly. So, Teresa, you've been here in town for, what, like 3-4 years?
3 years.
Okay. And what brought you to Brookings?
A great big U-Haul truck that I drove on 199 because we had two big trucks, but anyway.
Yeah, so did we. I know your story.
It was a little crazy. What brought me here... Anyone who is lucky enough to find Brookings and explore it and get to move here, it is hard to find. And I just happened to luck out. Dan talked to a friend years ago. Where would you like to retire? And this person was from Eugene. And he said, well, there's this little place on the coast. And Dan just started watching the weather and researching. And he thought it sounded like fun, and we came and we visited, and we're here.
Yeah.
The last time that we visited here is the trial run for a whole week. You know, is this even feasible? We fell so in love with the community.
Ooh.
And we went to the last concert in the park. So I feel a very strong connection to the park.
Mm-hmm.
And we also got to catch a play with one of the local theater groups over in Harbor, and it was really good murder mystery. And we had excellent food. Oxenfree was our first place to eat. Little plug there.
Wow.
And I was like, I grew up in a town this size, and we did not have those things. I don't know that everyone here realizes that the tourism industry brings a lot more amenities to Brookings than a town typically of this size would have.
Right.
And I had always said I could live in a small town if it was a cool small town.
Right.
Not the one I grew up in. It was okay as a child. As an adult, I would be bored out of my mind.
Right.
But
and here there's always something happening.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm always amazed at how many things are going on.
And I hate it when I can't do something because I'm just tired. I like to do it all. And speaking of doing it all, my ties to Azalea Park before I even was asked to consider joining the board, we went to every concert in the park. We haven't missed one, even during the Checo Bar fire. Oh, no, we sat there. Well, the musicians were still playing and Dan.
The smoke.
Yeah, right.
The smoke, actually, the valley was pretty clear. It didn't settle down in the park.
Okay.
The ash was falling and falling between my eyeglasses and getting on my eyelashes. So it was cloudy from the smoke. I didn't need my sun hat for that. But I just put my sun hat on and then the ashes fell on the hat. It worked.
Teresa, you are a trooper. You really are.
So I was in love with the park. And then when somebody contacted and said, we really need some new board members and our volunteers are down. Would you consider it? And now I'm totally invested. I mean,
yeah,
I know how much work it takes, and I know how easily it could slip away. Yeah. So,
and it is really a jewel. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful place.
It is.
I know. Holly, how about you? How long have you been in town?
So I've been here about 22 years, 19.
Good grief,
I
woman.
Know. almost a local.
Wow.
We came from Kalispell, Montana, December 13th to get out of the snow and find the warmest place in Oregon.
Wow.
So we had.
So where is Kalispell?
Kalispell is Glacier Park, Montana.
Okay.
Snow.
Ice.
Feet.
Cold. Freezing.
Minus 30 below.
Okay.
So it's cold.
Yes.
And came down with the two kids, two dogs in a van. And we were thinking of Medford area. Mm-hmm. And I asked the hotel guy, I said, we're going to go through Agnes to get to the coast. And he said, no, don't go through Agnes. A guy in a camper died a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And
that's something that happens every few years. Yes.
And so we drove down 199, and I thought it was a man I was missing in my life until I smelt the ocean. And my heart filled.
That's funny, okay? That's just funny.
And so we were going to just spend one night, and we ended up spending four nights at the beachfront hotel. Mm. We checked out, the kids were still in school, so we checked out what the school kids looked like, and they looked pretty normal compared to Kalispell. It was...
Right.
And as we drove north going home, it got windier and colder and blustery.
Yes.
And we got home and the snow was up to the eaves of the house, two-story house.
Oh.
So it took us a year and we sold the house and we packed up our U-Haul and two birds, two dogs, two kids, and myself came to Brookings.
Wow.
Got an RV, stayed at Beachfront RV Park, and then up to Whale's Head because winter was coming and I was nervous about the storms.
Right.
And so we lived in an RV for about 15 months and then found my tiny little paradise up by the cemetery, which is a mini azalea park. And so I lucked out in 1999 when I bought my house.
Oh, that's great.
And love living here.
Yeah.
The view. How can you beat it?
No, you really can't. And the weather.
And the weather.
You know, because we had the same experience. We came, we found Brookings, and we weren't, you know, my husband wasn't completely sold that Brookings was the right place.
Right.
So he wanted to drive north. So we did, and we drove as far as Florence, I think. But as soon as you leave Brookings, the wind picks up.
Right.
You're just like,
and the rain is going sideways instead of...
It's just, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's no... We really are in this little...
Pocket of paradise.
Banana belt place. It's just...
And I had heard it was the banana belt, but I didn't believe it until December 13th we got here.
Yep.
And it was 68 degrees, and it was raining, but it was warm, you know? And I thought, oh my gosh, this is it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to go to California.
Mm-mm. Well, you can't afford to live in California.
Right.
I mean, we couldn't, you know, we had to get out of that state.
So the kids grew up here pretty much. They were 9 and 11 and went through the school system here. My daughter lives in Denver and is a massage therapist.
Mm, nice.
And my son still lives at home with me and he's my security guard and my chef. And
that's great. Doesn't get much better than
that. Doesn't get much better than that.
And you have a nice big plot of land.
Yes,
and it's just
a tiny little house with a huge Doug fir grove, native azaleas and rhodies that the old man brought in back in the 50s.
So beautiful.
And so I try and take good care of it. I have my Doug fir guys come and climb my trees every couple of years to make sure they're healthy.
Right. Yeah, because it can get a little scary in those storms.
Oh, yes.
The wind is like,
it's like tulips in the wind when you see those trees blowing around.
Yeah, yeah.
So my house is far enough away that I don't think a tree would land on it.
Right.
But, you know, one never knows.
Why take a chance?
Yes.
I know. I live on the north end of town, and we're like one lot back from the bluff.
Mm-hmm.
So when the wind comes, especially during the winter, when the wind comes, it's coming from the north, and it's coming like, oh,
like a train.
It is. Yeah. It is. And the trees are like all over.
Yeah.
The, yeah.
Mother Nature's way of pruning.
So true. So how did you both get involved in the Azalea Park Foundation?
I don't remember who asked for.
Well, that's probably good for them.
Somehow. I was contacted that Azalea Park Foundation needed new board members mm-hmm. and volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been involved, and I think Holly had too. The reason we were contacted is we had been involved in the tree issue in the park.
Ah.
And I really, you know, just thought, well, the trees are beautiful. They're coming down. Why? I didn't have an opinion one way or the other, and mm-hmm. I got into it more. And so we felt like the trees should be, that they didn't need to all come down. Mm-hmm. And so some of us that got involved in that, I think, were kind of picked or asked, yeah, do you want to continue right. to be involved in
right.
the park?
Right.
And we really need some help.
Right.
You know, saving trees is great, but we need some hard labor here.
Yes.
We don't just need you to sign a petition or show up
right.
at a meeting.
Right.
And I thought, well, yeah, I love the whole park. Mm-hmm. It's not about trees. It's mm-hmm. about making the park, you know, let's put my work where my mouth was.
Yes.
That doesn't quite work.
Doesn't quite translate,
yeah.
but it's close. Yeah.
I felt like, yeah, I want to contribute to that.
And Teresa had never weeded a green thing in her life.
Not true. Not quite true.
Okay. Yes.
Holly is right. I lived for almost 25 years in a high rise on the 20th floor in downtown Tulsa before I moved here. So I had house plants. That was it. I never even, if the house plants got too big, they ended up on the patio, but I did not do major gardening at all. You know, I didn't have plants. I just had house plants,
right.
and I was good at those.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't require weeding. When I was a child, though, my grandfather had a whole lot of a garden,
mm-hmm.
and I used to go out there with him, and I mean, we had corn and green beans and potatoes.
Ooh.
and tons of tomatoes.
That's my kind of a garden.
And it was really fun.
Yes.
The corn on the cob was my favorite part. My grandpa and I would have corn on the cob eating contest.
Yeah.
At dinner, and my grandmother would be like, now you're just going to make that child sick, Howard. Stop it. She can't eat that much. And we would eat nothing. I mean, we'd eat like this much meat. I'm making
yeah.
a very small
right.
gesture with my hand right, right now for all of you radio listeners. But we would eat 5 ears of corn for dinner or six.
Wow.
And
yes.
he grew the best corn on the
cob. And if you're a farmer, because my mother's parents were farmers, and if you're a farmer, you eat what's in season. That's
mm-hmm.
that's what you do, because that's what's growing, that's what's available. You're not running to the store all the time. You're taking your food out of the field. So you would have corn for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And as a midnight snack.
Well, they didn't have it quite that often. We just thought it was a lot of fun. And I actually grew
fun.
Up, I lived in the country from more or less until I was about 10 years old.
Ooh,
so
okay.
I do have some roots with the land.
Right.
I'm not a total city person that lived on concrete my whole life.
But now she knows a weed from a flower.
Not quite.
Pretty close.
I pulled one up the other day, and Holly had to replant it.
Well, was a little lobelia, but you know that.
And they're very tiny, it's understandable
yes.
that
okay.
you would make that mistake. Absolutely.
Right. And it was from last year. I'm just trying to save a buck.
There we go. Absolutely. So, how did you get involved, Holly? Was it the same? The tree issue,
mm-hmm. and we used to walk Azalea Park back when it was a truly fantasy land where
mm-hmm.
there were tunnels from the bushes overhead, and you would kind of sneak through these tunnels and go over a little bridge, And now they've got the ball fields, which is great because that's going to bring tourism in. But it's changed a lot. Sure. And I've always loved the formal gardens. And I remember always seeing Gil and Shirley Hyatt.
That's right.
Every day out there weeding, yeah, kind of with their heads bent. Barely would they say hi to you because they were busy. They were busy weeding. And the two of them kept that going for years. But Shirley is now, I don't know, in her 80s. I mean, I hate to age her out, but I think she's
we're
in her 80s.
We're outing you, Shirley.
No, Holly, I hope I am as spunky and...
Oh, I know.
I mean, she doesn't miss a beat.
No,
she might not feel like gardening every single day.
Yeah.
Most people in their 40s and 50s wouldn't want to garden as much she did.
That's right.
And Shirley is...
Yeah.
She, I love
no, and, yeah. and seriously, thank God for Shirley and Gil because they definitely...
They kept it.
They were the thread that went through kind of from Elmo's... you know, days and all those volunteers to finally when we got all of you guys involved.
And I saw pictures when I was volunteering at the Capella last year. There's a photo album of the formal gardens that's in the Capella.
Nice.
And there's Elmo, like the Pied Piper. He had, you know, 20 to 30 kids, that many adults, wheelbarrows, rakes.
Really?
And huge baskets of flowers that they would plant.
Right.
And I don't know how he did it, and I wish that he wrote down his secrets so that we could find those volunteers again, because we desperately need volunteers to help us keep it going.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It was not maintained for several years, and we ended up hiring a great guy to do the heavy duty work, and the roadies were diseased. So our first thing was to lay down some good soil, put chips, bark chips over it to keep it moist, and to really radically trim the roadies. And I think that has helped, but we'll see. And we did do 6,000 ladybugs last year.
Wow.
Which I've seen a couple.
Mm-hmm. I actually, just the other day, I saw a whole bunch in one area. I mean, like, I'm not sure how many there were. So I think the ladybugs that we did last year, it was a fun experiment, whether it has increased the ladybugs, because they will eat the bugs. And there was this little girl that came through with her father when we were putting the ladybugs out. You have to put them out in the evening time, so hopefully they'll stay. And Holly can do more of the description of how you do ladybugs. But this little girl came by with her dad and said, "What are you doing?" And, you know, they were just walking through the park. So she got to release some ladybugs. Oh. And she just thought that was so cool.
Well,
it was
a
lot of fun.
It is. And so hopefully they mated last year.
Right.
And then they hide under rocks. And then in the spring, they all pop out from underneath the rocks. And the little nymphs, I think is what you call them, those are the ones that eat ravenously the bad bugs.
Oh, great.
The ladies, once they have their little red with black spot coat on, I don't know if they eat as many of the aphids, but it's the nymphs, which are black with, I think, a little red line in them.
Isn't that funny? I don't think I've ever seen one of them.
Well, they almost look prehistoric. They're just, you know, you wouldn't imagine a ladybug. Right. Well, I guess it's like butterflies.
Exactly.
You know.
The caterpillar looks a little different.
And how it's
just a little different.
How it gets wings is beyond me.
I know, right?
But so we'll see how that works, you know, if the ladybugs can get, and it's the lace bug is what was causing all the havoc.
Really?
And I think watering in the morning only instead of late at night, because the moisture brings in mildew and funguses and stuff. So hopefully we can get that schedule. So just doing early morning waterings of the formal gardens.
Yeah, because it can get a little odd when you've got the fog, which gets pulled in when Medford is extraordinarily hot. And then you don't have any sun to kind of
burn off that moisture and everything just kind of
gets that like creepy black stuff on
it. I know. So I'm assuming that you need volunteers.
We need, there's usually about three of us.
Is that a good assumption, Teresa?
Yeah, right. There's usually about three of us that show up on the first and third Saturdays of the month from 1 to 3. And we just, tomorrow, if it's not a downpour, if it's sprinkling, we'll be out there. But I have a truckload of marigolds, lobelia, and all kinds of other plants to be planted for the festival. So the formal gardens will be at its best.
Because the festival is really one of those, it's one of those times when
to show it off,
you just really want it sparkling.
Yeah.
And it kicks off the summertime. Mm-hmm. And Azalea Festival, one of the reasons why I was driving that truck on 199 is we were determined that we were going to be in Brookings for the Azalea Festival. And we showed up on Thursday night with the trucks, and Saturday morning we were sitting up on Chetco watching that parade. We walked up from our duplex that we rented, and we wanted to do everything. We wanted to just dive into the community, and I kind of took that a little far. But it was it's easy to do, and it's easy to get involved and volunteer. If anyone moves to Brookings, if anyone's listening to this and you are bored, no. Contact Azalea Park Foundation or contact KCIW. There are so many neat things to do in this community. And getting volunteers, part of the problem, I think, is there are so many things to volunteer with that I have met somebody that just moved here recently, and I think she's great. Well, she got involved in like 5 other things before I could catch her for Azalea Park. And, she's busy. And it's also when you're retired, and it doesn't have to be retired people, would love to have younger people come. But on that, Holly talked about the picture with Elmo and all these kids. I think this park was started in 1995. Even from 1995 till now, kids have a lot more things. Well, look at all the ball fields that are there.
Right, exactly.
They have a lot of things that they're involved in. And, we've talked to some of the high school groups and it to do different projects, not just the park. And it's really hard to get everybody together and get a schedule.
Right.
So, and then older volunteers, they've got their own gardens and not all the mussels are quite as fresh
quite
as they
as
used to be.
Toned as they used to be.
Those knees.
And
knees.
The knees, the back, the hips, the shoulders. I mean, there's a lot of different things that can go wrong. And I understand that they're sore when they work in their own garden. We have little steps and stuff. You don't have to do heavy things. And it's such a fun thing to be a part of.
Yeah.
You can do as much as you can and you want to.
Exactly.
I really would encourage people to think about getting involved, because when we sit there in the park and we're weeding or planting or watering and people walk by constantly and their dogs, it's such a neat feeling to interact with the community, and they're always, "Oh, we love coming here." Or you'll meet the tourist. And how did you find Brookings? What are you doing here?
Right.
And I love talking to tourists because they always are kind of jealous of, you get to live here.
Right.
I'm just getting to visit.
It's
and
true.
I feel very fortunate to be able to live here. I think in time our volunteer, we might not ever have Elmo Williams, Pied Piper kind of personality. I've heard he kind of got people to do a lot of things.
Yes.
He was very charismatic.
Yes.
So maybe we just need to find a real charismatic.
Well, he was a producer, so background helped.
He
knew how to gather.
Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit more about volunteers and the people that you've been meeting in the park. I just want to take a little break and let our listeners know that you are listening to KCIWLP, and this show is called Our Community. And I'm talking today with Teresa Lawson and Holly Beyer from the Azalea Park Foundation. So, yeah, I wanted to pick up on the people who come through there, because there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people who come through Azalea Park and the formal gardens, particularly during the summer.
Yes.
And they come from all over the place.
Germany, I mean, Europe.
Where have you met?
Germany, in the States, Wisconsin, Florida, Texas. I mean, all over.
It's amazing.
And a lot of people that I've talked to recently with the whole this phenomenon called the internet, Travelocity.
These newfangled ideas.
I know. I think it's Travelocity has, like, you can put in Brookings and what to do.
Really?
And I think Azalea Park is on that list, because I'll ask, well, how did you find it? Mm-hmm. And they'll say, well, you know, we punched in on the Travelocity or, you know, some other little site, Yelp, or I don't know.
Right. But, interesting.
Yeah, so that gets the word out, mm-hmm, I think, is, mm-hmm, you know, having, and even doing the formal gardens somewhere, you know, come see the formal gardens in Azalea Park, mm-hmm, might be a help. And it's too bad, you know, that there wasn't a little covered area where we can have a sign-in book just to see, you know, who the visitors are, where they're from.
Yeah.
Maybe in the future.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
The city will build us a little, I don't know,
and
a little station for that.
It's amazing how far away people live who come.
To come to this very remote.
Right. I mean, you have to work to get
you
here.
You have to really work.
And you have
to
want it.
$1.99 is closed down, I think I read today, because of either an accident or a slide or something. So, you know, if you didn't make it today, well, try again tomorrow. The road will be open.
Maybe. And if you're coming down 101, you're in trouble.
Right.
You have a Husqvarna, and you know.
Because you can blink through this town and miss it. And so after 2008, a lot of businesses closed down, but in the last 4 or 5 years, Brookings is booming.
It is.
So many restaurants.
It is, and they're good.
Good restaurants.
Good restaurants, yeah.
And food trucks, which I love. Mm-hmm. And the city has, you know, redone Checo Point, and, you know, they're busy trying to get these parks looking great for the tourists coming in, because I think that's our future, is tourism.
Right.
And so we need all those tourists here to enjoy all
Absolutely.
The beauty we have here.
And it is, there's just no place like this.
No.
There's no place like it.
No.
I mean, I've traveled a bit, and, you know, it's, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, the vistas, the ocean, the North Pacific is unlike any. I mean, I lived in Southern California for a long time, and it was like the Pacific Ocean is literally kind of flat,
right?
And, you know, and beaches, and, you know.
I actually was not an ocean person because I had been in Southern California, Los Angeles, and LA, and around La Jolla, there are some cool places where you can go out on the rocks, but. I was like, yeah, it's okay. Right. And the East Coast oceans,
I don't know. I'm from the East. I'm from outside of Boston.
Right. Yeah.
And
you love
there's
them?
Nothing better than Magnolia, Manchester by the Sea, with the little islands dotted out there. Mm. And so that's where the sea captures me.
Right.
Because living in Montana, you're pretty far away from that salty smell in the air.
Absolutely.
I even like the smell of low tide, you know. I mean, that's how much I missed it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't mind that smell, but the coastal topography, or I guess that's the way you would describe it around here, is incredible.
It is.
And if you watch in movie, I mean, it's used all the time because it's so incredible. And then you have to find, it's remote, it's hard to get to, so finding a small community on the coast that is something you can afford. It is more affordable than a lot of places, but also has the amenities. Brookings is a real sweet spot. We end up going to Medford so little, I'm shocked. Mm-hmm. For somebody who always loved living in a city with all that available.
Right.
But we have great music. I don't understand why every concert in the park isn't like when the Beatles come. It's free. It's free. Let the kids, you know, kind of play. Let the parents just relax. Bring a picnic. Instead of eating your lunch at home on a Sunday, come to the park. And like I said, I haven't missed a one. I don't know why anybody would miss very many.
Well, for me, I live up by the cemetery, and you can sit out on my deck and you can hear the music.
Exactly. You don't have to go to the park. And you've got a park anyway right in your backyard.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah. But you can't see the fun dancers.
No, that's true.
Right. And run into everybody you know. That's true. Time Dan or I come home and we've just gone to the store, or we've gone to do something. Oh, well, did you run into anybody?
You almost always do. I don't think I've ever been able to get all the way through Freddy's without seeing somebody that I knew.
And sometimes you dart away so you don't have to talk to them because you're in a hurry. That's the bad part.
I've got to get this food home and make dinner.
Because it could be a half hour to an hour conversation.
Oh, it's easily a half hour conversation.
Plugging up the aisles. And,
yes.
You know, people have to go around
you. And you keep saying, oh, sorry.
Right. As you keep chatting.
Yeah,
right.
It's pretty funny.
It is funny. It is.
But it's
funny.
One of the delights of living in a
And we're
place
in
like this.
I have to say, one of the safer areas in town. I mean, there's, you know, your typical situations that happen.
Right.
But for the most part, you know, a lot of people don't even lock their cars.
I know, or
their homes for that matter. I do, but that's just because I'm me.
Well, and, you know, I feel very safe here. I feel safer here than I've felt anywhere else. And I feel like everything is kind of within walking distance.
Yes.
So if my car doesn't work, it's not a catastrophe.
Right.
In the other places I lived, it would have been a catastrophe.
Right, AAA.
You're right. I would have been stranded. There'd be no way to get to the grocery store. You know.
Right.
Yeah.
And the most helpful people I've ever encountered. When I first moved here, I bought a really crappy RV, and it was the first rains had come. It was September, and it was leaking like a sieve.
Mm.
And there were more guys in that park that would come over and help and tell me how to fix it.
Yeah.
And 22 years later, it's still like that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in trouble, there'll be somebody that will stop, and you don't have to feel threatened. They'll help you out, give you a ride to wherever you have to go if need be. So it really is we have a little treasure here.
Yeah. So getting back to the park and the formal gardens, because
that's what we're talking about.
We are talking about that, but they're looking so much better than they were a few years ago. I mean, things are
right.
I walked through there the other day and I was astounded.
Well, last year we dug up, I think, 4 or 5 beds and redid them. And we're still going to be doing a few more beds. But as far as that goes, I think that's enough to maintain for what we have as
what
volunteers.
What did you put in these beds?
Heliobores down by the little statue, which I can never remember the name
Friendship
of. Friendship
thing? Yeah.
Yeah. And
Jubilation, too.
Jubilation.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
I've heard it called both.
It's the
dancing metal people.
Right. Right. Which is a cute little.
So there's heliobores, which are winter flowers, and they're still blooming now. And we put in some peonies and some woodland undergrowth. We put in a pollinator area for the monarchs, because we are a monarch city, USA.
Yep.
And their nectar flowers like echinacea and daisies and anything that has a flat top a landing pad, so to speak, so that they can land and enjoy the nectar.
Yeah.
And a cactus garden going towards the band shell. We put in some Aeonium canariensis.
And I want to break in on that cactus garden and just, I want to give Holly a real plug. That is so beautiful. And she designed it all. And I watch, because I go to the concerts in the park all the time, I would stand there and watch people walk out and walk past that area. And they really reacted to it last summer. It was, and that is what gives me the satisfaction. Just go sit in the park. Don't be weeding and have somebody come up and tell you, oh, thank you, it's wonderful. Just sit there and watch people enjoy it. And they don't know that you had anything to do with it.
Right.
And that, I mean, they're all beautiful, but that area is really dramatic and gets the most compliments.
Well, the rain really didn't help those poor aeoniums. And so we'll see how they
bounce back.
Yeah, but I had to take off a lot of leaves that had been rained on and had pitted marks and stuff.
Didn't like the rain.
But they really did get big. I mean, they're one of the biggest.
Yeah. It's still beautiful aeonium. Over there. I just had one person that's actually a gardener that's going to start helping us, and I was showing her the elephant ears. And she was like, I said, this is nothing. Wait. I mean, these things will take over. I was kind of upset when our landscaper cut them back so much last year. It just looked so stark. They're already even bigger than last year. Right. Because when you prune a plant, it's hard. It looks harsh. But then they do. Almost any plant's going to come back better. I even know that from houseplants.
There you go.
But she did not realize
she
that.
She does
I said,
know.
Does I know. Know. Yeah. I had beautiful houseplants.
I'm sure
you did.
I did
have, and I had to leave all of them back.
Aww.
Which... because there was no room in the two trucks even.
Right.
And I had some really big ones, but I realized when I got here that we might have been stopped at the border.
With
California. Well, nobody was there, but
that's true. Right.
And so it's fine. They went to good homes. Mm-hmm. And
there's more houseplants everywhere.
I mean,
seriously, they're easy to get.
I can always skip more.
Yes, exactly.
I have an amaryllis that's blooming right now. It was so pretty.
Yeah.
Two Christmases ago, not last Christmas.
Right.
I refused to make it go dormant because the green leaves were so pretty.
Yeah.
And I've just left it up. And I have two giant stems coming up and four blooms on one. We're not sure on the other one.
Oh, wonderful.
And just
wonderful.
A surprise.
No, yeah. It's great. It's
plants
great.
Make you feel
happy.
Good.
They do. They are life. And it just...
And beauty and...
And I think they give off oxygen.
They do.
They
so,
do.
Well, why... No, okay. Northwest
So we are also going to be doing a native seed of the Maritime Northwest area in the garden, which all you do is you mow it in the fall, and then it comes back the next year.
Okay.
So we'll probably do it like around the roadies as a base. They don't get very tall.
Great.
But it does say here
all those purple flowers
that the established meadows may sequester more than 1 ton of carbon per acre per year.
Wow.
So, yes.
Wow. That's
the
great.
The answer to your question.
And the roadies, I just have to say, they look wonderful. I mean, I know that they got pruned back and everybody was a little bit nervous about how much they got pruned back. But they look
they do
beautiful.
And you can see through, and in the future, we'll be doing undergrowth plants.
Right.
So that, you know, there will always be something that is, you know, when the roadies flowers die back and land on the ground, you know, there'll be other things to look at.
As the pruning was going on with the roadies, which was way overdue, and so it was drastic all at once. You know, we made some comments to ourselves. Well, you know, when are the complaints going to come in that we've destroyed the garden?
Right.
Which, I mean, Holly knew exactly what to do. And some of our other people are pretty sharp gardeners, too. I didn't know. it did look a little stark, mm-hmm. and you could just see all the way through. Mm-hmm. Now that they've bloomed out,
yes.
And a positive to trimming them back was when Nature's Coastal Holiday came around.
So tell us about Nature's, because that's what happens in the winter mm-hmm. in the park. That's where the big light festival. So talk about that a little.
Well, that is an amazing thing for the park. Mm-hmm. And Azalea Park Foundation just helps out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to take credit for that amazing operation.
No,
of
it's
Nature's
another
Coastal Holiday.
Group of incredible volunteers.
And yeah. a few of them do a lot yep. of the work. So we wanted to sponsor, since we had gotten so invested in the park as Azalea Park Foundation, we wanted to sponsor a light display. Mm-hmm. And we also worked with the BOMA people, mm-hmm. which is the Brookings, Oregon Monarch Advocates. And so we thought, how about some butterfly lights? And we didn't have time. I didn't realize those really big structures are almost all custom made.
Yes.
It's one thing you cannot go on Amazon and order. You can't even go online because no. we had these ideas. Oh, we'll go find a giant caterpillar and a giant butterfly and just have them delivered.
Right, right.
You can have almost anything delivered.
Yeah, not so much.
Not so much.
Yeah.
So we got some butterflies. Holly did all the research. Mm-hmm. And then they had a giant, is it a dragonfly? Or
I think it's a dragonfly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. a dragonfly that they put with it. And in time, we could have the welding group at the high school, perhaps,
yeah.
build a caterpillar.
That'd be nice.
And I don't know if we'll get it done for this year, mm-hmm. but that's right. in the works. And what I did notice, we went out and helped hang the lights. Mm-hmm. They have one Saturday, the first part of November, where they ask the whole community come show up and help hang lights. And it's a lot of fun. We did that. It was kind of misty.
Yeah.
It wasn't
mm-hmm.
the greatest
it
day.
Was,
but it's also a community pride thing. It just feels really good to be part of that. Then when you go back and you go through the lights, I helped do this. But the lights are so much prettier with the roadies trimmed back. You can see a lot more of the lights. And
right.
they also said, because I had never helped hang the lights before, that it was easier to work with and, you know, mm-hmm. have it look really nice.
Mm-hmm. And it did look stunning this
yeah.
year.
It was a million lights.
A million lights.
Yeah, they added a lot of lights. And
shout out to Klaus.
Yes.
Right?
And Leslie.
And Leslie.
All the others.
Yes.
I'm sure we're forgetting some. Those are just the
yeah.
twos I know. Trimming them back, though, I do think that what we did in the gardens had a big effect also in that area because it was so packed in that it was yeah. hard to see the lights.
Well, there were branches laying on other bush. I mean, heavy branches laying
yeah.
on
That's
other
not
bushes.
Healthy so for them.
Jason, our landscaper, has really done an amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I think, Jason and maybe one other guy, and I'm sure the city is tired of loading all that stuff that he's been trimming back and having to haul it away. But we're nearing the end of the big stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it has to be done. It's
yes.
not like it's whimsical. It has to be done in order
right.
to preserve the health
yeah.
of those
going
plants.
Forward
yeah,
because we
absolutely.
Want many years, decades
absolutely.
Of beautiful flowers.
And what's the source of funding? Because I'm assuming that you've got to have some money to pay a gardener and some money for supplies and stuff like that.
When we started with the Azalea Park Foundation, there was some money there, mm-hmm. and we have received a nice bequest from a will since then.
Mm-hmm.
We have not done major fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
As with any nonprofit, you're always trying to figure out where your volunteers going to come from, where mm-hmm. your board members going to come from,
and where's your money
going to
yes,
come from.
Exactly.
And when I look around at all the organizations in Brookings, and it's tough. We don't have big corporations that you can go to and get a lot of money for things. Everybody here really has to work for what they do. It's mm-hmm. there just aren't big pools and pockets of money. So yeah. we focused on getting the gardens back up and running. Mm-hmm. We are going to have to start doing the fundraising. Mm-hmm. And I don't know exactly what our plant, Holly, what?
We were thinking a plant sale wouldn't be this mm-hmm. year, but, mm-hmm. you know, starting next year. But that's not going to bring in a lot. And I don't know, do a party or I don't know.
And we could probably figure out how to set up a donation something somewhere that people could donate to. I think the getting the bequests from somebody's will is a really wonderful idea.
I mean, we wouldn't be where we are without that.
Yeah. Exactly right.
And this was a person that had lived in Brookings a long time, and she just gave, you know, a few thousand to this group and that group mm-hmm. and this group. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were very nice gifts, and her legacy, I mean, that's what I want to do with my will, because mm-hmm. all of those groups, it meant a lot to all of them.
Yes.
It was a huge boost.
Yes.
And it was the things that she had appreciated over her life in Brookings.
Exactly right.
And so anybody out there listening that, you know, is going to be visiting an attorney in the next year and putting a will together.
Seriously.
I'm not just saying for Azalea Park Foundation, but do think about what is important to you. What would you like? Once you're gone off out of this earth, your loved ones and your friends are going to keep your stories alive.
That's right.
But you can also have an influence in things that you appreciated mm-hmm. that are important to you, because we will still be talking about that bequest that we got in 10, 20 years.
Oh, absolutely.
Remember, that really helped us, because we don't have the foundation built to be the major fundraising machine.
Right.
And it's, Elma put a lot of his own money in it. And he was mm-hmm. charismatic, and he got a lot of other people to put some money into it.
And they also went out for grants, which
they got a couple grants.
Right. And that's another possibility. You know, there are grants
out
available.
There.
We just have to, you know, mm-hmm. you have to be able to find them. And that can sometimes be a full-time job, just trying to locate
them. We're a small but mighty group. There's, five or six of us mm-hmm. that are doing all this. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it will grow as time goes on. And I swear to God, there's at least two or three people moving in town every week. I mean, I see it online. Oh, we're coming in a month, or mm-hmm. we're coming next week, or we just got here last week. And So
we need to figure out how to grab them up for Azalea Park Foundation before somebody else does.
I love the Garden Club, and it's mm-hmm, a great organization.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
But I do feel like Azalea Park Foundation is kind of the afterthought. Everybody knows the term Garden Club. Mm-hmm. Every city has a Garden Club.
Right.
They come to town. They see Garden Club, and they're like, oh, they know exactly what it is.
Yes.
Talk about branding and marketing.
Yes.
That name is gold in any community, because the Garden Clubs of most communities are pretty strong organizations.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we've got a good one.
And
Our Garden Club is phenomenal.
Yeah. We've got a good one, but I go to their meetings, and they have 25 people that show up. Now, not all of them are helping. A lot of them want the plant information or whatever.
Right.
They might not have the time or the physical capabilities, but the Garden Club does kind of get all the good gardeners when they move to town.
Now, and we have Holly.
Oh, yeah. I know. But I mean,
she's the best.
When they first move here.
That.
And you could do both. I mean, we share. We're friends with each other. You know, there's people mm-hmm. between the two. I've heard in the past that there was some contention between those two groups. That certainly is not the case anymore.
No,
I mean,
no.
We know lots of people on the Garden mm-hmm. Club, and they're doing the same kind of things as we are. And so it's all good.
Yeah.
Everything adds to the flavor of the community.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Can I tell one?
Of course
really
you can.
Fun,
of course you
a
can.
A fun story about Nature's Coastal Holiday, because I just get excited when people get excited about Brookings, whether they live here or they're visiting. There was this Nature's Coastal Holiday is another real gem in our community. I know we're focusing on APF, but that is pretty incredible.
Oh, I agree.
I was there, and there was this family there one night. It was kind of a rainy night, so the locals weren't there because they could come anytime. But they purposefully rent a giant beach house and have a giant family reunion in Brookings because of our lights.
No kidding.
Every year, it was the first part of December, so that before all of their lives get crazy, that's like their Christmas together between Christmas and Thanksgiving. They rent a house here, and some of them were up from Montana or Wyoming, some from Southern California, one from a little bit farther east, and a few from Grants Pass. I think that's how they know about it.
Hmm.
And, you know, we can be a destination place
yes.
the whole month of December. I mean, a major destination place.
Yep. I've never seen a light show like what we've got. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, I have, but in much larger communities and not on the coast.
Well, Shore Acres, though, up north, by Charleston, I think, has had a light show for years.
And they haven't, for a community this size, absolutely not. It's pretty. But, you know, those are just really heartwarming stories that, will you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
When I first moved here, I think it was just in the formal garden, the light show, and they had maybe 10,000 lights.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the years passed, it started growing. They got the school involved to make more sculptures. Mm-hmm. And now look at it. It takes over the whole park. I mean, they would probably love to even go further, like in the soccer fields. But, you know, who knows?
No, it really is just amazing when you walk it. It's, you know, at first you're like, oh, and then it's like
oh, whoa,
wow, and wow. And, you know, I've noticed a huge difference between how it was like 3 or 4 years ago and how it was this past year.
Yes.
And it's clearly down to the people who are involved, the volunteers.
And they've given money to the city for lighting, for to improve the
paving
Capella
the, parking
the lot. Parking
lot, I know.
And so they give back just as much as...
Yep.
Well, they sell $5... I think they're $5 raffle tickets all year long. Every festival they were out last year. I mean, I go to all the festivals too, so I saw them. They were out there hustling. And those $2 admission charges, and then I think $1.50 for the 3D glasses, it adds up. And they have paid to put up lights. I think they paid the whole amount for the lighting.
For the lighting.
And now they're talking about getting a grant and providing some of the matching funds for paving that parking lot up by the Capella, which I'm sure everyone would love that.
Yeah, because you don't really feel like slogging through the mud.
Right.
I mean, that's the one down.
Well, it's not safe for anybody, but for older people that might have a little bit of a balance issue.
Yep.
That's another thing this year. If you have stayed away from concerts in the park because the ground was pretty uneven, that's all been redone and new sod has been laid.
Ooh.
And hopefully the gophers are going to behave themselves, or they're going to be caught very quickly, or is it Bill Murray that used to fight the gophers in Caddyshack? Maybe he can move here. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we love the whole park.
Yeah.
We get real excited
about. It's just a beautiful.
And it's a wonderful thing to be part of. I really invite everyone to consider. Just come out, talk to us, contact us. There's a lot of things you can do, and it gives you great pride in your community.
Yeah,
And on September 7th, the Monarch Festival will be down by the band shell this year because it took us by surprise last year. We thought maybe 50 to 100 people. We had over 700 people. And we were up by where the fountain used to be.
Right.
And so we decided.
Not enough space.
Yeah, and
exactly.
So we thought, well, this year we'll have the snack shack and maybe some food and hopefully some monarch butterflies.
Oh, that would be very nice.
Because June 1st is when they'll start coming up here.
I can't wait.
You need to do another show, Candace, on the whole monarch and everything involved with them. That Monarch Butterfly Festival, I know we're supposed to be talking about Azalea Park Foundation, but we don't just live in a bubble. We get involved with anything that we get.
Yes,
we're passionate and we get involved in all these other things. That Monarch Butterfly Festival last year, for a first year festival.
I know.
The amount of, there was this one family of kids, and I knew them from substituting in the schools. They're delightful. They lived pretty close. They were there for an hour, hour and a half, and then I didn't see them. I thought they were doing something. They came back, and I go, are you guys still here? Oh, no, we went home, but it was boring. We're back here. No. They stayed till the very end. And
that's hilarious.
And we had no food last year for it.
Right.
I worked in the craft table, but festivals are kind of what I think makes this town really small town festivals. If anybody ever watched Gilmore Girls, always had small town quirky kind of festivals where everybody had a great time.
And we do here.
And I feel like I found my Stars Hollow. That's from Gilmore Girls for any of you out there. Check it out on Netflix if you haven't seen it. It's an amazing show.
Okay, I hate to do this because it's always comes as a shock, but we're just about out of time.
Oh.
I mean, you're happy, Holly, I know, but isn't it amazing how fast it goes?
Yes.
I mean, it really amazes me every single time.
Yes.
So if people want to volunteer, what should they do? Is there a place, a phone number?
We do have a Facebook page, and you can also, I've gotten contact just recently through the city, because we are part of the city, and they can call the city if they don't do Facebook. We don't have a dedicated phone number. We are getting a brochure made, and we'll have contact information.
Perfect.
But Facebook or the city is the best way.
Great. And then the first and third Saturdays of the every month except for November and December from 1 o'clock to 3 p.m. Just come and find us. We'll be heads down in the dirt.
I love it.
And those notices are usually in the paper.
Okay. So thank you, Teresa and Holly, for coming on the show. I really appreciate
it.
This was definitely fun. And thank you for listening. KCIW is volunteer-run, like so many wonderful organizations in our area. So a special thank you and shout out to all the dedicated volunteers in the community. You make a difference. If you'd like to get involved with our community radio station, visit our website, kciw.org, fill out a volunteer application, become a member, or make a donation. Until the next time, this is Candace Michelle for our community. Thank you.